We have done 152 messages on systematic theology. This is number 153. We're in Revelation, the sixth chapter. We were going to do this in the last class, but I saw that they needed something different in that message. So we went off on the candlestick of the tabernacle. And we find out also that from Revelation, the fourth chapter onward, that we turn all the way to a different world. We go into the tribulation period. If you look over here on the tribulation maps, we have our big map up here now for the first time we've had it here. And this is the church age. Where we are in the book of Revelation, the church age is over. It's done. It's finished. Where we are is in the tribulation period, in this period of time right here for this seven-year period of time. In systematic theology, we're studying the subject of eschatology, their end times. After the church age is what we're talking about. What's going to happen after the church age, the end times? Now, there's a lot of time left after the church age. You're 7 years here, 1,000 years there, and so at least 1,007 years after the church age. In time, and then we go into eternity again. We have the great white throne judgment, and we have the Christ returning in glory at the end of the tribulation period. All of the people that will go into the millennium on the earth are those that are saved and believers. All the rest will be destroyed at that period of time. So these believers here will go into the kingdom of God, epites geis, or el gei, on the earth, el haaretz. So they will be living here for 1,000 years. People will be multiplying. Five out of every six people will have been killed of Gentiles, and two out of every three Jew will be killed. There will be a small Jewish population and a small Gentile population going into the millennial reign. And every one of both sides are going to be knowing the Lord. They shall all know the Lord. Now for 1,000 years, the Lord, this 1,000 years here, the Lord is going to be up in glory with his bride in New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem will be the light that lights the earth. Now, we have a lot of trouble with agnostics today, don't we? And atheists, and there aren't going to be any agnostics and atheists during this period of time at all. From this period of time onward, there will not be any. But some people will not serve the Lord. They won't do it. They still are Adamic, because the Adamic nature has not been removed yet. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation. I'm going to read it to you as a translation from the Greek. So just read along with me in Revelation 6 and 10. And they cried out loudly, very loud, in a voice very loud, saying, "Until when, O Master, the absolute ruler and potentate, the Holy One and the True One, will you not judge the blood of us?" Now, these are dead people. These people are talking to the Lord in spirit and soul, in whatever type of form they have. They're with the Lord. But they're crying out for the Lord, and these are tribulation saints. What do we mean by tribulation saints?
They died.
They're
martyred then, right?
These people from the rapture on this way, there are going to be a lot of I believe there will be a tremendous amount of believers right after the rapture. Maybe they were agnostics before. Maybe they didn't know whether there was a God or not, but now they do. And they believe, except the believers here. All the believers are taken up. Every saved person and the church will all be taken up to be with the Lord. So there's nothing but lost people going to be on the earth. But just like in the days of Noah, on the outside of the ark, people were believing when they saw the judgment of God, but it was too late. T-O-O, late. Too late. So they had to face the waters. They had to face the judgment of God, and they were killed because of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I've told you and others before that I think that the book of Revelation, the great harlot of Revelation, is made up of the Islamic Empire that is revised again. Now, the Islamic Empire is going to be, they're looking for their Mahdi. Their Mahdi is like their Christ. And he will be a reincarnation of Muhammad and a direct descendant of him through his daughter Khadija. And anyway, they will worship him and they will follow him, and he will be a reluctant leader, but he will do this. He will be joined by the beast in Islamic eschatology. The beast is an animal that will be a weird looking thing. He's going to have a head like a bull, horns like a stag, ears like an elephant, eyes like a pig, horns like a stag, that is, a neck like an ostrich, front end like a lion, the back end like a cat, and a tail like a ram, and legs that are 20 feet between the joints. Now that's a real weird looking animal in their description. Their beast is going to mark the true believers of Islam. The Antichrist in the book of, and the false prophet in the book of Revelation is bad people. These are bad. In Islam, it is good. Everything good in the Bible is bad in Islam. Everything bad in Islam is good in the Bible. So their Mahdi, their false prophet, is going to come forth, and he's going to lead his armies, and he's going to bring the world in submission to Islam. The beast is going to mark those true believers of Islam, and I believe that the flag that they will fly, the insignia they will have, is there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger, and he has no companion. In other words, there's no Jesus there. And they will say that. That is the words that they say to become a believer of Islam today. And every jihadist has that wrapped in some place on his body, on his arm, or around his head, or whatever. They will, supposedly, according to Islam, subjugate the whole world. And in the meanwhile, then they have their Jesus is going to come down. The false Jesus. And he's going to kill all of the Jews and kill all the pigs, and then he's going to subjugate or kill all the Christians. And so they bring the whole world under the power of Islam. Islam means to submit. Now, these people that have died during this period of time are now crying out to God and telling him, how long are you going to wait till you judge our blood, all the ones dwelling upon the earth? And verse number 11 says, and it was given to them, each one a robe white. These are the ones that died during the tribulation. These are tribulation saints now. A robe white. And it was said to them, in order that they should rest. Still a little while longer. A little longer time, a little longer period of time. Until might be fulfilled also the ones that are fellow slaves with them, the ones brothers of them, the ones being about to be killed, just as also they had been killed. So there's still more going to die. Six, the number six. Six is man. Only one-sixth of the world will be left alive. Islam is going to kill 5/6 of the population of the world. You might say that is an outstanding number. That is a tremendous number. Well, they have killed 270 million people in the history of Islam that we know. Maybe 300 million people that have died. And the earth will be depopulated during this period of time. The Jews, after their C2, now look at this. 2 out of every 3 Jews will die. Only 1/3 of the Jewish people will be left alive. And then they will listen. That's what it takes for them to listen. That's how much. They're going to have to see 2/3 of the population of their Jewish population of the world die before they will finally come to God and say, "Forgive us for what we did to you." And I saw opened up the seal, the 6th seal. Now look over here. Again, as we look at the little map. So here we are, we're in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. Now we're opening up the 6th seal right here. So we're before the middle of the tribulation period. So now a lot of people have already died. But there's a whole lot more going to die because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trumpets. And then there's 7 bowls of wrath also that are coming after this. So this is still in the first half of the tribulation period. Now, I want to say this also. As we read this, this happened once before. Now, when you were a young girl, Sharon, you lived in Egypt, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You lived in Egypt. Did they talk about the plagues of Egypt or anything back then? You hear anybody talking about that all?
Well, just the one time when we had the swarm of locusts came. Yes. And, you know, when we were saying, "Oh, that's just like in the Bible."
They still have staph infection there.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and they still have tuberculosis and all the terrible things. You got that, too. You got everything they had to offer, didn't you? You got everything they had to offer, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I actually darkened the sky, the locust.
Yes.
So that made an impression on me. I'm as a little girl.
Yeah. All of the plagues that happened in Egypt that God brought, the plagues, okay, the 10 plagues, all of those plagues happened all the time, but not to the extent that they happened then. God just magnified. When the children of Israel were in the desert there was manna. But not enough to feed all of those people. It was a natural, and it didn't happen every day. But God made the manna fall every day. So he magnified something that they had already seen. He magnified it greatly. Now let's see what happens here. And he opened the 6th seal. And it was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Megas. Seismos megas is what it says. A great earthquake. It occurred, or it happened, or it became, and the sun, it became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon, the entire moon, became as blood. Now out here, where we live here in Old River, when we're here, that is, we're not here very much, but we're here. Every evening you can look out there and you can see the pollution in the sky and it'll be a red sky out there. Out there in the east when the sun is going down. Now, the plagues, God facilitated things. Did the Nile ever have red tide before? Yes, it did. It had red tide before. Do we have red tides out here in the ocean? Yes, we do. And it kills things. Did they ever have frogs come upon the land before? Yeah, they did that. Did they have locusts before? You saw locusts in Egypt. Did they have staph infection? Oh, yes. Do they have flies and do they have gnats and mosquitoes and like whatever? You know, you've got to go like this all the time, don't you? I remember 10 years ago or so, we had so many toads here, you couldn't walk on the lawn for the little toads. And I was so happy to see the toads because they eat bugs. And we have plenty of bugs here. And I was guarding those little toads as much as I could to make them live so they could be big frogs and eat a whole lot of ants and a whole lot of bugs because they're friendly. And these flying little mosquito, these little tiny flies they bite. We've got a fly up there in Fish Lake Valley, a little tiny fly. Then when it bites you, boy, I mean, it stings like a bee. It bites the blood out of you, and you'll see blood coming out of you, and this is a little old tiny fly. That's what was happening here. That happened. Now, all of these things exist there, but not to the extent. Now, what happened? What's going to happen here? There's a great earthquake shaking in it. There was a island. Santorini was the name of the island, out by the island of Crete in the Mediterranean, that blew up right at this same period of time. And it completely covered the sky with ash and volcanic ash. Then we had another explosion out there in the Mediterranean Sea, didn't we? When we lost the whole city. What was that lost city?
Pompeii.
Completely wiped it out. And Pompeii affected the weather all the way to America in Europe. Now, the Bible tells us plainly that there's going to be a great earthquake. Now, when the island of Santorini, when it blew up, they said that there were tidal waves that were 600 feet high and over 100 miles wide. That happened at that period of time. This is history. This happened in history. Recorded history that we know about. Now, many of the non-believers say, well, see, all of this that happened to Egypt, Moses just took up there and took advantage of everything. No, God caused that island to blow up. And it happened. And God made all of these things happen. God caused that island to blow up. And then all of these plagues, just exactly like God said they would be. It happened. Can God use natural things to bring about his miracles? The island Santorini blowing up was a miracle, but God allowed it to happen. He caused it to happen, and it affected Egypt greatly. I watched the movie, Marilyn and I did watch this movie up there, didn't we, Marilyn? We can watch things in Nevada. We can't see here at all. We can't do that here. We watched about the 10 plagues and how every one of the plagues were documented. That this really happened. They went over there and they found the ash from the volcano. All the way in the Nile Delta, they found this ash. It really happened. Now, what does it tell us? That the 10 plagues were real. And guess what? The earth is going to be plagued with it one more time during the tribulation period. He's going to redo those plagues one more time, except this one's going to be on the whole world. The whole known world. The moon. The entire moon became as blood. Ezekiel 38:18-20, Zechariah 14:4, and Acts 2:19-21, and Joel 2:28-32 are all prophecies of this going to happen. Now these prophecies, some of them were written over 3,000 years ago. It's not hard for God to bring something about. God told Abraham that his children were going to go down in Egypt and be there for a long time and then come out rich, didn't he? That's prophecy. Did it happen? Yeah. Now we know historically that these things really happened. They said that there were no camels. that Abraham couldn't have had any camels. But now they find out that the camels were in use at that time. They said camels were not domesticated yet. Well, yes, we go back and they find coins with camels being domesticated and camels in the camel caravans going at that time, during the very time that they said they weren't there, but they were. Let's look at verse number 13 for a moment. Revelation 6 and 13. And the stars and of the heaven, the stars belonging in the heaven, by the way. That's what it said, the stars belonging in heaven. Now, when we talk about stars, we're talking about meteorites also. These aren't stars or planets out there. They're suns. And they have planets around them. But we see this one shining planet out there that is a sun. And then we see all the planets around that, which we don't see. But now, all of the asteroids are going to, their asteroids are going to start hitting the Earth. Now, these are all natural phenomena. The Earth gains about 1 ton of matter a day. Did you know that? 1 ton of matter every day falls on the Earth someplace. Whether it's dust, space dust, or whatever it is falling to the Earth. About 1 ton a day. It says, and the stars belonging to heaven, they fell, ace, tain, gain, upon or unto the earth. As a fig tree, it cast the unripe fruit of her because of great winds and because the fig tree is shaken by great winds, and so the fruit falls off. You can come out here in the yard, you can see that the lemons fall off the lemon tree, the grapefruits fall off the grapefruit tree, the oranges fall off the orange trees, and the apples fall off the apple tree, all when this happens. When we have, and we have plenty of great winds, don't we, Marilyn? Yeah. Lots of great winds. All this is going to happen during this period of time right here. At this period of time right here. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen on the earth right here, right in that period of time during that tribulation period. God tells us what's going to happen then. Do you want to be there? Do you like to go visit Egypt again?
No, not then.
Egypt is always a type of the world, isn't it? The earth is held together by God. And every one of those particles in space, we got a lot of space junk out there too. One time, probably around the end of 1980s, I was sitting in my radio room in Fish Lake Valley one night. And I was talking to my friend Eddie in Wisconsin and other people out there. And all of a sudden, the ground just started shaking. It started shaking. It's just like we were right on a railroad track. You know what it's about like to be on a railroad track? Sharon? It shakes the earth, doesn't it?
Yes.
Those great big machines. You can feel the roar of them. Well, it's just like there was 100 engines, train engines, outside in my yard. Like 100 of them. More than what... I've been to your house when the house shakes, you know, because the train is going by, what, 100 yards away from you or less? And then those whistles blow. I thought I was right in the train track, right in the way of a giant train. I looked outside. It was nighttime, and the whole sky lit up. And I opened the door. And the whole earth was shaking. The atmosphere was shaking. Just vibrating and roaring. I said, what in the world's going on here? It was a piece of space junk coming out of space. Just a piece of space junk. Just a piece of space junk. And it roared over the White Mountains. It went over Bishop. They heard it in Bishop, and they thought it was going to hit White Mountain, and it went over White Mountain, and I thought it was going to hitting Fish Lake Valley. It just kept on going. It ended up out there in the middle of Arizona someplace and hitting the ground. But it lit up the sky all of that way. And the earth shook in its pathway for maybe 100 miles in either direction where it went over. Now, I don't think this is quite like space junk, but it's meteorites. You've been to Arizona, the meteor crater in Arizona, and you saw how that great meteorite hit the ground. I even got a piece of it in there in my radio room and library. A piece of that asteroid that hit the earth, the comet that hit the earth. Boy, the asteroids are going to be like bullets coming out of the sky. And every one of them is going to bring tremendous power with it, and it's going to shake and terrify the world. These things are going to terrify the world. Not too many years ago, there was a big asteroid hit up in Russia, wasn't it? And killed people. And shook houses. And it didn't hit in a populated area, I don't think. One of them hit there in that great wilderness, in the Siberian wilderness, hit out there, and it wiped out about 300 or 400 miles, killed everything within 300 or 400 miles. This is going to be happening all over the earth. All over the earth. Now, and it says in verse number 14, and the heavens, they were split apart as a scroll being rolled up. And every mountain and island, out of their places of them, they were moved. Now, there was a great earthquake just a few years ago in Japan, wasn't there? And tidal waves and everything. And the earth moved off its axis so many degrees. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. In verse number 14, it says that every island is going to be moved. The whole earth is going to be moved off its axis right there. Every mountain and every island. Now, White Mountain, where I live up there, is 14,252 feet. But between World War I and World War II, they blew the top of that mountain off. And they took a road and they blasted a road right up the face of that mountain, switchbacks all the way to the top, and they flattened the top of that mountain off, and they built a high-altitude radar station up there. Now it's abandoned now. There was a naval base up there. Well, maybe White Mountain will be 16,000 feet tall when this takes place. Maybe it'll be flat. Who knows? The Earth's crust is going to be greatly moved. Mountains and valleys will be shifted. Bakersfield may be beachfront property. That's what they've been saying for years, you know. That you're going to have beachfront property here in Bakersfield, that the San Andreas Fault will move it. We know that. This is when it's going to happen. And the kings of the earth, in verse 15, and the great ones, this means the upper echelon, the rulers and the senators and the presidents and so-called. And the chief captains. This word kilarkoi, that means men over 100. That means a chief over 100 men or a captain over 100 men. And the rich and the poor and the strong and the slaves and those that are free and those that are slaves, basically, will all hid themselves in caves and among rocks in the mountains. They're going to flee because all of these asteroids are going to be coming down like bombs. In Fish Lake Valley, we had one of our neighbors come up there that was from Czechoslovakia. And he was 11 years old when he was inscripted in the army. And he said it was horrible when Germany was bombing and then when America was bombing their place because the Germans were there. He said the bombs were just horrible. The ground was just shaking. The earth was just shaking. It was depopulating and destroying everything where those bombs hit. Well, these asteroids are going to be like the whole world is being bombed. The whole world is going to be bombed. And it says, and they say that the mountains and the rocks fall upon us and hide us from the face of the one sitting upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, that sacrificial Lamb. I'm sure you don't want to be here during this period of time. I want to be with the Lord at that time. And you can be if you only believe. If you only believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in this world and died for you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was murdered on the cross, that he gave up his life there, that he was buried for 3 days and they rose again? Do you believe that he is really the God of the Bible and that he died for you? And all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save my soul. And God will come into your heart and he will change your life and make a new creation out of you. Our Father, we send forth this message that it'll touch lives and touch lives that these things are really going to happen. They're not make-believe. They're not fairy tales. These are real prehistory. Father, I pray that you touch each and every life out there, that you forgive us for we fail you, and help us to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.